Hey, it's Francis Lamb, host of The Splendid Table. Every week on our show, we talk about food and cooking and the meanings of food and cooking. We talk with the most interesting people in food about their techniques, their culture, and everything in between. Whether it's about how fried chicken took over the world or how Instagram changes the way people are actually eating. It's a food show where everyone is welcome. Come join us. You can listen to The Splendid Table wherever you get your podcasts.
Today's program is brought to you by the Museum of Food and Drink, sparking curiosity about food with exhibits you can eat. For more information, visit mofad.org.
You're listening to Heritage Radio Network. We're a member-supported food radio network, broadcasting over 35 weekly shows live from Bushwick, Brooklyn. Join our hosts as they lead you through the world of craft brewing, behind the scenes of the restaurant industry, inside the battle over school food, and beyond. Find us at heritageradionetwork.org.
Oh my God, it's tax time. Are you ready? If not, this episode of Tech Bites is for you. Good morning, Heritage Radio Network listeners. Today is April 13th, 2017, in case you're listening in the future, which most of you will be doing. I'm Jennifer Liuzzi. I am the host of Tech Bites, which is the weekly show on the Heritage Radio Network where we talk to influencers and innovators in the food tech space. I see a lot of nods in the studio going like, yeah, that's me. I'm an influencer and an innovator.
I'll take it.
You'll take it? Okay. Today, we are going to bring some of those influencers and innovators and tech folks and restaurant folks together to talk about tax time, because there is actually technology out there that can help make it a little easier if you're a restaurant or a food business owner, and same rules apply to your personal taxes. So we're going to do something a little newsy and timely, and then it'll be an oldie but a goodie going forward. So joining us today, we have some returning guests. We have the guys from Shoebox, who we like. They're a food tech startup that we've been following for the past 2 years and change. They were first on in 2015 for episode 24, Shoebox, Inventory Tech for Restaurants. And then they came on last year, episode 70. What's up, Shoebox, was the name of the episode, because we're just kind of checking in to see how they were doing a year later. And here they are again. Third visit, third year. This is now episode 94.
Wow.
Three awesome. Times a charm.
It's actually our fourth anniversary of the company, like, in the marketplace next week.
So that is the voice of Tony.
They have Iazzi.
Iazzi. They have the most terrible names to pronounce on live radio. Tony Iazzi.
Iazzi.
Iazzi. And his partner, Xavier Maricarena.
I'd like to see you suffer through that. Maricarena.
I was close.
No, you're very close. That was good. That was
missing
good.
Like a Dr. Zhivago-esque kind of...
It's intimidating. It's long. It looks... But it's exactly how it's spelled. That's what I always tell people.
If you correspond with him via digital technology, he's simply X in quotation marks.
Simplifies things.
And the email is easy too. X at Shoebox.
And joining us on the show for the first time is Dave Oz, who is founder of the Chelsea Hospitality Group that owns two restaurants in Chelsea, actually a bar and a fast casual place. And he also started out in life with an accounting degree and as a CPA, and is now, you know, a burgeoning restaurant mogul.
Yep. Well, focusing on hospitality.
Yeah. So he'll be joining us as well. And... yeah, I think it should be good. We were using like all the mics and all the headphones today.
Happy to be here. Thanks so much for having us back.
Absolutely.
So we will kick it off like we always do, talking about apps. And I was listening to the Shoebox episode 70 on my L train ride in from Manhattan. I do listen to past episodes. If you have a favorite one that you really like, let me know. It's both fun and excruciating to listen to yourself on the radio, which you'll find out, Dave, soon,
yes, I will.
Shortly. I noted that in episode 70, X was talking about Duolingo and that he was learning French.
Mm-hmm.
And so...
Oui, oui.
Ouais.
Comment ça se passe? Tu parles français maintenant ou quoi?
Je me peux défendre un peu. Mais je dois pratiquer un peu plus.
Plus. Yeah.
Plus.
Il est à 47%.
Soy espagnol. Me defiendo muy bien español, pero me français.
Oh, he's switching it up.
Yeah.
That's a good deflection technique. Switch languages.
Hey, listen, reading and writing is a lot easier than actually speaking in a on a radio show. How's that?
Okay. So Duolingo, that was your app last time. Is it still your app this time? Do you have a new one? Something
those,
you like better?
I really like Duolingo, but those pesky guys at Facebook got me.
What did they get you with?
So I'm a Spaniard by heritage.
By app?
By heritage,
download?
Right? And I've got a little gypsy tendency in me. I'm always looking for these crazy deals on like cast iron, old Griswold cast iron or guitars or whatever. And they have this marketplace feature they released. And they know they know everything about me.
They
like,
do.
Like,
they know actually everything about you.
Martin Guitar. This guy, you know, so people are putting up all their stuff that they're trying to sell. It's almost like eBay/Craigslist on Facebook, little marketplace. So I'm on it probably 20 minutes a day looking for...
Is there a separate Facebook Marketplace app, or are you just in the Facebook app?
I'm back in Facebook now. After like I swore off of it and decided,
they put you back in.
They pulled me back in with this Marketplace app. So they're like, you know, any search you do, all of a sudden all these things come up in your feed, and you're like, oh wow, I could use another cast iron or butcher block or whatever it might be. So
do you have a big garage?
I don't, but I get obsessive over little things, knickknacks, and I think it's my gypsy Spanish tendencies. So
he rented a storage space for all this stuff.
Yeah, well,
you should see his house. It's a little house.
Yeah, I have a lot of little trinkets and knickknacks. Yeah. And
trinkets.
Yeah,
moving is fun.
Yeah, a little old lady is living inside my brain somewhere. So
okay.
So Facebook.
But not for the people, for the garage sale.
For the marketplace.
For the marketplace.
Yep.
Okay. Yep.
They pulled me back in.
All right, they gotcha. They got their hooks in you now.
Yeah, they do. At least for now.
How much have you spent?
I bought a beautiful guitar. I got it. So, you know, I'm always looking for the crazy deal. I got this beautiful guitar from a guy up in upstate New York who came down to Atlantic City. I live in Philadelphia, so it was only about an hour away. And he's like, I don't play these guitars. I guess he collects guitars, and he's trying to, like, thin out the herd, and his wife is yelling at him, so I got this incredible guitar for $250. That's probably like a $2,000 guitar.
Wow.
See that? Wowzers. So, you know, and then all of a sudden, you're like, it's like a high. You're like, can I find another deal? Can I find another one? You know what I mean? But I'm done with guitars now. I'm on to cast iron. So
cast iron.
Yeah.
You call me when you're into China.
Okay. Because
I got cases.
Oh, do you?
Oh, yeah. I, too, have storage.
There
and
you
people
go.
Who like to shop. Tony, you have an app that you like for us this week?
I've been using, I can't recall the name of it right now, but it's one of those Stargazer apps. I've been spending a lot of time out in the North Fork where you can actually see the stars.
Mm.
And it just seems like some kind of crazy witchcraft that it knows how to tell you where the constellations are. It's pretty fun.
Explain a little bit more what a Stargazer app does.
You just kind of hold your phone up to the sky.
With
and
the camera on?
Yeah.
With the camera open?
And it just tells you which constellation is which and which planet is which and everything that's going on up there.
It's probably using your GPS.
Oh, I would imagine. But even like the way that you turn around, I mean, it seems like it just knows exactly what you're looking at. It's pretty amazing.
Okay. Dave, do you have an app that you like right now? An old favorite? Something new?
Well, I'll be honest. I probably don't use apps as much as I should to help me with that.
Well, should is debatable.
I think there's a lot of apps out there that make things easier for people, and I probably should look into a lot more of them. But I'll tell you one app that I use, because I move around a lot from place to place and meetings and stuff. And to get here, I used Embark, which is like a subway app.
Oh, I've never heard of that. Tell us more.
Well, it just gives you the map of the train. You could put in where you're going and where you're coming from, and it'll give you what train to take, how long it'll take. You know, I'll give you a map. It'll connect you to the map. So it helps you find and gives you a time limit, too. It tells you how long it will take to get to the train, to get to the space.
Does it tell you, like,
assuming DMTA is running.
Right. That's one of the reasons why I use it. I mean, I was born and raised in New York, but the trains, it doesn't matter how much you've used the trains. They change like every week.
Yeah. So, and moment to moment, depending on what's happening.
Exactly. So using the app helps me, you know what trains are running now and what's not. And
so does it tell you like when the train's going to hit the station?
It does.
Wow.
But
that's pretty
again,
cool.
That's, yeah.
Is it free?
It's free, yeah.
Wow.
Is it spelled like Embark or is it spelled like M-B-R-K?
E-M-B-A-R-K.
Got it. So I can find it.
Yeah, exactly.
And back in Mission Control, who occasionally we feel his presence with, we hear his presence with the sound effects, which are fun, is David Tatasciore, who's our engineer and the Heritage Radio Network studio manager.
Yes, and you got the pronunciation down for me now.
Well, I've been working on it for a long time. That was another disaster also, because the way, if you could see the way it's spelled, it's not necessarily intuitive or phonetic.
Sounds like it's spelled. Incidentally, I'd like to say my favorite episode was episode number 88. You may remember it was about a certain new podcast series.
Grotesque self-promotion.
What else is there?
Yes. So,
well,
David,
I wanted to offer that bit of pause. Well, no, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Well, he was actually a part of a really fun fictional podcast called What's the Story? And it's a 4-episode podcast that you can get on iTunes and all your favorite podcasting platforms.
WTSpodcast.com.
Yep. It's really funny. It's an ensemble podcast about a guy who works as a fact checker who becomes disenfranchised with how fact checking ruins stories and decides he's going to do a podcast where the most important thing is not the facts, but the story itself. And so he puts together this really funny cast of characters, and some of them are really kind of hilarious,
spot-on
stereotypes of certain people and things you hear on podcasting and in media. But it's very funny. So I had David on with his co-creator, one of the characters and the writers of the show, episode 88.
It's a storytelling podcast for the post-truth era.
Yes. How long have you been waiting to get an additional commercial?
I just see an opportunity, I take it.
Okay. All right.
So
now you got to give me an app.
I wanted to start off.
And I want sound effects on the show.
I wanted to start off with that little bit of positivity because I kind of have like a negative app review in my experience from the past week.
Oh.
It's the Doodle app, which I know we've mentioned before on
we
the
have.
Show, but. Yeah, I was using it too. So we're coming to the end of our spring season here at Heritage Radio Network. And so we're trying to organize sit downs with all of our hosts to catch up and check in on everything.
The Doodle was a disaster.
The Doodle sucked.
Yep.
So
that's a scheduling one, right?
Yeah, it's scheduling. It's not a snack. Yes. It has nothing to do with cheese, which is the initial disappointment
of
the Doodle.
Maybe that's where they went wrong. Yeah.
Right? And it's not about drawing and it's not about fun.
No.
It's about scheduling, and it kind of doesn't work.
Really?
Yeah, it just, like, it...
That's disappointing.
I thought it was going to prevent people from signing up for the same time slot, and that was wrong, and it just, the layout was confusing, so we switched over to a Google Sheet, which you need to fill out still, Jennifer.
Wow. This show is not panning out how I thought it was going to be. We might have to rethink the participation from the booth for the summer season.
As the CEO of Doodle is crying.
I do love the sound effects, though.
The dust has settled now.
So my app, IRS to go, because it's tax time. Your taxes are due. And the government, IRS.gov is the website. They have an app, a free app for Android, iPhone, and Amazon. IRS number 2 and then go is the name of it. It can help you file your taxes, make a payment, track your refund.
Interesting.
It has free software to download to help you file your taxes. It also has resources where you can find actual resources of people and go and sit down with someone and have them help you with your taxes if you need that. They have a thing called VITA, which is Volunteer Income Tax Assistance. They have TCE, Tax Consulting for the Elderly, AARP. So, I mean, all things considered, it's actually not a bad little app informationally. And if you want to track when your money's coming back in and all of that, it's pretty good.
Cool.
So, I mean, you do have to give them your social security number and all that kind of stuff, but I'm sort of assuming that they have all of that about you anyway, and if they don't, they're probably just going to buy it from Facebook.
That's true. That's true.
Facebook Marketplace.
Exactly.
At a discount.
Exactly. So IRS to go, you know, download it if you need some assistance or you're tracking, you want to track your refund like you track a package.
Sweet.
Yeah. There we go. So the show is about taxes because it's that time. Shoebox is a, we like Shoebox for a couple reasons. One, they're good talkers, and that's important for radio. Two, they are a point of purchase software platform for restaurants and food businesses, developed by people who worked in restaurants and food businesses. And that is a very, very rare combination in the food tech world. We have a lot of people who are not in the food world who create products and services and kind of get it and kind of don't. So we like to encourage industry-born ideas. And they've managed to make it to 4 years, so that's good, and that's progress. Kind of bootstrapping it in like the
Thank you.
The real like get work, make money, and grow way versus the
raise money and
play ping
spend
pong.
It as fast as possible. Yeah, and then
keep raising more money.
Right.
Yeah.
And although you were in an incubator at one point,
yeah,
I did 500 startups 2 years ago.
Yeah, 2015 we did 500 startups. Great experience and all, you know, and. I think back that was back when we were still kind of getting our legs under us from a tech perspective and trying,
understanding how the game is run.
Yeah.
Was it like Silicon Valley on HBO?
There was lots of ping pong and snacks for sure. A lot.
Cheese doodles, not meeting doodles.
Yeah.
Well, you know, it's funny because after this experience, you realize all the operational and business chops you need, you get them in surplus after running a restaurant. And we were hoping that the incubator would be more about maybe tech-specific ways to run your business at a higher level, but it was more geared towards how do you raise money. And, you know, I think that's it's great that a lot of people are very good at raising money, and that's their business model. But for us,
we actually heard that 80% of the people who were in our batch at that time, 80% of the companies are gone.
Wow.
So that was interesting.
Yeah. Congratulations to you then.
Thanks. Yeah.
Yeah, so give the quick elevator so Dave and our listeners can
absolutely so
understand what you do.
Shoebox is an automated invoice management platform. Sounds very unsexy and very, you know, but what we do is in the paper-riddled restaurant world where deliveries all come on paper, you can snap a photo from your phone, you can put a stack of invoices through a scanner. And we process within hours all that information so that you can automate it to accounting, get a report to your phone of what was spent, and all your invoices are organized and digitized on the web. So if you ever want to see when was the last time the hood cleaner came or what did the guy charge me to fix my oven, everything's on your phone.
So why is the timing component of the, why is this important? I mean, aren't restaurants keeping receipts and invoices and entering that information already?
Sure, but it's, you know, the chef or the GM who's usually doing it at 11 p.m. at night. And when they can be doing more value add for the restaurant, like making sure people aren't taking too much time on overtime, going through the walk-in, make sure they're ordering and stuff instead of entering numbers into a spreadsheet.
Yeah.
The other thing that the general public probably is not aware of is that with the farm to table and farm to fire and, you know, farm to counter movement, you deal with a lot of farmers.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of them can be small businesses, and you can get a delivery of, you
just
know, a
eggs.
Case of strawberries or eggs, and your invoice will be a post-it.
Exactly.
That says one tray green eggs, $20.
Exactly.
So then how do you deal with that?
We extract that data. Yeah, exactly. We see a lot of stuff come through. A lot of handwritten, crazy, scribbled on pieces of paper.
What's the best one?
That are bills.
What's your favorite one invoice?
I remember Tony's.
And you don't have to
invoice.
Give names, but
what
just
so
was it the one for the shooting range?
Yeah. Yeah. There was like an invoice that came through one day, and you know, we see all kinds of stuff, but there was an invoice that came through from one of our Philadelphia restaurants that said shooting range, and then it
personal protection or something.
Like, it was like R&D or something. Yeah. And I'm like, only in Philly would shooting range be part of an operational expense. As we talk about the tax show, you know what I mean. Like,
and then there was the receipt for the car that came through
for that restaurant.
Exactly.
Somebody put their car payment through shoebox too.
There's all kinds of stuff.
See, from an auditing perspective, we see a lot of interesting things.
Yeah.
What was your favorite one in terms of like the Post-it or the Seafoltel invoice? The creative invoices.
Well, sometimes we just get the check stubs with what the item was written on the check stub after it's already been paid. It's not even an invoice. It's just...
I'm pretty sure I've seen fish invoices, especially like we've had a few very fish-heavy restaurants. We have a few very fish-heavy restaurants on the platform, and literally a napkin, just like striped
scallops.
Bass.
Yeah.
$200.
And they have 45 different purveyors, I think, fish purveyors.
Just fish.
Just single item things. Mussels guy.
It's crazy.
One's taking a picture of their hand, written on their hand.
Oh, that's a pretty good idea, actually. We will have to do
we've
that.
Some pretty, please, and, we've gotten some interesting photos through as well.
We have. Well, I can't... I mean, you see everything, so... And it's hard to keep track anymore. Now, we got to focus on other things.
A lot of times, the more interesting ones we get are, when you start talking about an app or taking a photo of something from your phone, people kind of start to think that it's magic, and you'll get the whole tableau of their desk with the coffee cup and the computer screen and everything, and their feet, knocked up.
And then you just have to figure out
what the hell is
going on. We zoom in and take a screenshot and, categorize them out. I mean, one was a chef.
Like
I could tell.
Forensic accounting now.
It totally is,
It was a chef who was standing on his chair. I could tell it was a chef because he had clogs on, who laid all the invoices out on his desk.
All of them.
And took a shot from above. And it was beautiful. We should blow that up and put it in our office.
Yeah. Or maybe that could be like the homepage on the website.
Totally. Good idea.
So we are going to take a quick break, and then we come back. We're going to get into why it's important to have all your records, why it's important to have them in a timely sense. And then we're going to talk to Dave and Tony and X are going to talk to Dave and see if, what's actually really a great idea and what's actually just, some slick talking from that guy over there. Stay with us.
Hi, I'm Dave Arnold, the host of Cooking Issues on the Heritage Radio Network. We all know and love Chinese takeout dishes like General Tso's chicken and egg rolls, but here's the thing. Even though we call it Chinese food, it's not like the food you'd find in China. What's the story behind this cuisine, and how did it become so popular that you can find a Chinese-American restaurant in nearly every town in the country? The answers may surprise you. Visit the Museum of Food and Drink in Brooklyn and see our newest exhibition, Chow, Making the Chinese-American Restaurant. Chow engages visitors with compelling accounts of how Chinese immigrants overcame racism and created Chinese-American cuisine. Discover the science behind the flavors of your favorite takeout dishes, feast on rotating tastings developed by the country's most talented Chinese-American chefs, and try your hand at writing your own fortune, which will be baked into actual cookies by a 1,500-pound fortune cookie machine. But what better way to learn, connect, and eat? You can visit Chow at the Museum of Food and Drink on Fridays through Sundays from noon to 6. Tickets and more information can be found at mofad.org.
Hey, like what you hear? Heritage Radio Network has plenty more. With fresh programming every week, we've got something for everyone. Trying to start your own food business? Concerned about where your food comes from? Looking for the best wine or beer to bring to a party? Find our shows on iTunes or Stitcher, or head to heritageradionetwork.org to listen live and subscribe to our newsletter.
Well, if you're just joining us and you're wondering what the hell you clicked on, this is Tech Bites, the weekly show on the Heritage Radio Network, where we talk about the intersection of food and technology. And today, because it's April and tax time's right around the corner, we have the guys on from Shoebox, which is a point of purchase accounting tech platform for restaurants, back of the house. And we have Dave Oz, who owns restaurants. And also has a little bit of experience as an accountant. So they're kind of a perfect panel for Tech Bites Tech episode. Subject. So Tony and X were talking about what their service does, and, you know, for people at home who maybe don't work in restaurants or don't have a food business, imagine, you know, that side pocket in your purse or backpack, or that drawer in your kitchen or your desk, or that, you know, box you toss all your invoices and stuff into over the course of the year that you then go back to dig through to do your taxes. Imagine that times like 2.5 million, and that's sort of what you have if you're a restaurant. So, Dave, what are some of the challenges of keeping up sort of like the day-to-day with the flow and getting your businesses ready for tax time?
So, as they said before, you know, we get a lot of different vendors. You're buying things from all sorts. You could buy 10 products from 10 different vendors sometimes, and each one has an invoice. So you do get a lot of papers, a lot of paperwork every week that needs to be kept track of. One of the things, it helps focus on the business. When you have the numbers on a timely basis, you could see, you know, you can actually match your expenses with your revenues. So you can actually check your food costs properly for that week or that month, because the proper invoices are in. So it's very important to have timely information.
So what does timely exactly mean? Because timely means different things to different people.
Looking at them as they come in. Basically, because if people, as they said too before, like chefs or general managers could get busy with other things, they might not input it for a week or 2 weeks, or, you know, and then, so you're not getting accurate percentages or numbers to really evaluate your business. So timely means putting them in. So if your revenue's coming in that week, you want to make sure the revenue you're getting is against the expenses that you're spending on that week.
Correct, yeah.
And what do you think the industry standard is?
I don't think there
is. From experience. Or average, industry average.
To get real correct numbers, probably about a month.
Yep.
Yeah. Like, you, if you have the restaurant staff kind of entering numbers, they're not pros at that type of work.
Well, because everybody in a restaurant has a very specific job, mm-hmm. based on a specific skill set, mm-hmm. and product that they're producing. Mm-hmm. Right. So your bartender's making drinks.
Right.
Your manager's orchestrating tables and staff flow. Your chef is theoretically making food and overseeing those people.
Sometimes if they want to hit their food costs, they don't put that invoice in until the week later.
Oh.
Oh, yeah. There's all kinds of tricks. Yeah. And I'd say the faster you have your numbers, the better, of course, because in such a slim margin business, any proactive step that you can take to control the business, it gives you an advantage.
It's control.
It's control. Right. I mean,
restaurant people are control freaks for people.
Well, you could easily fall behind very fast and then realize, oh, wow, I owe a lot of money. Yeah. And I'm not making enough to pay these bills,
right.
If you're not keeping track of it. I think it also varies on the size of the restaurant owners. If it's one, you know, a single restaurant, they might not have enough staff. If you're a bigger company with many places, you could hire someone who focuses on that. You can have that, you know. It depends who you can hire and how many people you can have doing the work.
Yeah.
So you have, Dave, you have two restaurants. You have a fast casual concept called Two Forks NYC, which is by Bryant Park. It's sort of like, I'm going to say it's like a mashup between like barbecue and sweet green, or like barbecue and a salad place, because you have like the pulled roasted meat side of things, which is very barbecue-y, and then you have sort of the healthy salad bowl, quinoa, vegetables sort of thing, and it's all made kind of fresh in a bowl.
Yeah, you could say that. The only difference with barbecue is we don't smoke it, but everything is slow cooked and then pulled. And, you know, we offer chicken, beef, lamb, pork. And then we have, for vegetarian, spaghetti squash. But then, yeah, it's in a bowl, and you can pick different bases, and you can mix it with different slaws and different sauces that, you know, my partner and chef, Mike Kaplan, comes up with. And it's seasonal slaws and seasonal, globally inspired seasonal sauces. So it's a mix.
Yeah. Everyone's nodding like, yeah, lunchtime's coming. So your other place is actually a speakeasy bar called Bathtub Gin, and that's in Chelsea.
Yep.
So you have two businesses. Why don't you talk about you know, with your experience and what you're doing to sort of get everything ready to make your annual evaluation go into tax season, and then the shoebox guys can ask some questions and see if they can help, or how shoebox would be helpful, and or maybe, and you can also talk about maybe things you wish you had that you don't, that maybe they can help you out with.
So one of the advantages I have is we partner with a bigger hospitality company called HPH. They own several, probably 20-something restaurants in the city. And so we have a bigger operation back of the house. We do have an accounts payable person, and we have a controller. So all our invoices get sent to the accounts payable person, who inputs it into QuickBooks. And then we get a report every week that our controller prints out from the QuickBooks that we get sent to look at, basically showing us our food cost, all our expenses, payroll cost. And then, you know, we created an Excel spreadsheet also for certain numbers that we want to see personally. So we're lucky to have that option.
Sure.
So a lot of times we'll bring the invoices to the office and put it in, but that's a lag.
Sure.
So it's always a week behind if we do that, or we'll scan it in if we have time and we can be more accurate that way. So
sure.
It varies.
Sure. Well, I mean, I think having one of the things that we've really been focused on with Shoebox is speed and accuracy, right? And so I feel having those daily, so every morning there's a report that comes back to you that shows you your spend by category and by day. So I think something very empowering about that is, obviously, midweek, if for any reason you see numbers are out of whack, there's an opportunity to make an adjustment as things are happening. And looking back sometimes, I think, can lead to mistakes, errors, and, of course, just not being able to jump on an issue in the heat of the moment.
How can you actually pivot in the middle of a week on the finances to save the balance?
Yeah, well, you
can
see. So we order meat every day. You know, we get fresh meat delivered for two forks every day. We could see, oh, wow, we spent a lot on meat, and, you know, we have a lot of backup. You know, we don't need to order maybe today. We'll order tomorrow.
So tightening up the inventory.
Yeah, tightening up inventory.
On perishables.
Yeah, definitely helps. You know, seeing it on a daily basis could help, you know. It's like we keep saying, accuracy. It just provides more accuracy.
Right. Like what we provide really is oversight of that data and accountability, because someone doesn't have to enter it manually into an interface anymore.
Right.
They're just reviewing it, having oversight over it, and they can spend more of their time not collecting their data but analyzing it.
Right.
And that's where we've seen huge improvements in businesses, where they can go in and dig into costs and make sure they're getting their returns, and they notice more things when they're not just doing the mundane task of data entry all day.
Right.
Do you feel like you're on top of your data?
I think so. I think it helps that I have that finance background, that I can double check the information that's sent to me. I think I see any big mistakes or errors I can see jump out at me right away.
What are the most common? I mean, not a lot of restaurant people have accounting knowledge, so that's a very unique.
It's not most common. It varies. You know, errors do happen. one of the things is the report we get is, you know, it shows, all right, what were our expenses? What do we still owe? What checks are outstanding? And then what we have in operating capital. And we show the difference, and you can see, you know, I can see the number, you know, of the difference of what we have. If we paid all our bills fully, which no one knows because you usually have credit terms, if you pay fully right now. And then there's movement. So you might move some money from one account to another. You know, you might use from your payroll account, or you might use distribution money. And when the movement happens, that's where a lot of errors can happen. And then if I look at it, if I saw last week we had this number, and then I asked her to move some money, and then I come in the following week and I see that our number is like, we're negative like $100,000, I'll be like, wait a minute, why? And she'll be like, oh, well, we moved the money. And I'm like, well, we had the money, we just moved it. We didn't like create a new expense. And she's like, oh, right. And so that's the first thing that will jump out at me, is like, we've been making money all week. We're definitely not losing money. So why is our numbers negative now, you know?
And what about like if you have to dig into what the expenses are, how do you get a hold of an invoice to check it out?
So every week, actually every Thursday, I go in and, you know, that's when I get the report. and I go through all the accounts payable report, and if there's certain expenses that I want requests for, you know, we keep a file of every receipt. So then they'll give it to me, and I'll take a double check on it and look.
What if you could see it in seconds? That's your phone.
It helps, yeah.
Exactly.
Do you have an uptick in what you're doing now because it is tax time, or no, because everything just kind of runs along and it's like when you're in your Amex account and you just download the annual report?
You know, there are a lot of interesting characters in the restaurant business, and we're really...
I got three of them sitting here right now.
That's true.
We're more of a... For auditing purposes, we really come in at any point of the year. Like, if they want to see all the liquor invoices for whatever reason, boom, boom, there's your report, there's your links to your invoices, it's all there. But we found that some of the more old school guys, like, don't want their numbers online, easily accessible at all.
Yeah.
So that's been some interesting thing to contend with.
Yeah. They're afraid Big Brother is there, or, you know.
Big Brother
they don't
want to
see what's going on with nothing.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. We've seen and heard and experienced quite a bit in this.
Now, I have a question. So once they scan the invoices to you, do you recommend them to keep the invoices? Or, I mean, what do they do with the invoice?
It's really up to them. We don't suggest that they get rid of them, but they certainly can. What we recommend is that they just don't have to file them in order anymore. They can just drop them in a file or box by the month and then store them wherever they like. But people certainly do shred them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is it the recommendation of you keep your records for 5 years or something like that?
At least three to five,
and then you can get rid of them?
Yeah, I know with liquor invoices, you actually have to keep on premise the originals for like 6 months or something like that.
And that's where we've been really helpful to those restaurants as well, because they can still send their data very easily over to the accounting office, which may be three states away, but keep those hard copies.
Right.
Interesting. That happens a lot in D.C. for some reason.
Yeah. I mean, almost every place has very strict liquor laws. So
are you ready to go with the end of the tax year, or are you having a...
I think we're ready to go. I mean, for company taxes are done already, actually, right
now.
So we already passed.
That's March 15th.
It's more personal,
Yeah.
It's more personal taxes now, I don't know. Do you guys do it for personal receipts as well?
Well, I think it depends on... What you mean by personal?
Paid outs. Yeah, exactly. Paid outs and all that stuff, absolutely. We have a receipt function where anything that's, you know, I hop in an Uber and go to a restaurant, it's a business meeting, I want to expense it, you can absolutely put it through our system. But as far as things beyond that in the personal realm, it's hard enough doing, you know, doing great work for restaurants. I can't imagine having all the individual people behind that restaurant then also texting us at 1 a.m.
People text you at 1 a.m?
Oh, yeah.
What do they text?
Missing invoices.
What are you wearing?
Question is, do you answer them at 1 a.m?
Sometimes. I mean, sometimes. We've also got our operations in Manila on the other side of the world. That's where a lot of the processing happens. So, you know, if there's
questions. We're up working with them, usually.
There's times when we have
to. And we have some restaurants in Hawaii, too.
Yeah.
Wonderful.
So we are in all these time zones.
Right.
So that was the question. So when someone scans the invoices, it gets put in manually, data entry from Manila.
Yes.
Yes.
So now, have you had an issue, or could there be human error in data entry?
Usually it's more questions, like they just can't read it.
To the post-it note that says 5 pounds of scallops.
So we have a flagging system and stuff. But, of course, there's a miskey and stuff every once in a while, but that's why we have the oversight.
Yeah, there's an approval process that you do before you export into QuickBooks. I'd say, you know, 99 out of 100 times everything's perfect. There are situations, though, just like taxes, there is interpretational information, right? So, for example, if an invoice comes through from a graphic design, you know, is that consulting service? Is that a capital expense for, you know, website development?
Expense, yeah.
Like, there's all kinds of... In those situations, we assume your chart of accounts, and we're putting all of the different purchases you make against your category list. But there are times when we just don't know exactly how you apply the category.
There's also, you mentioned in one of the past episodes, figuring out what the product is sometimes based on names and
vendors.
What's
awesome is our team is like amazing.
Because again, this, it, for you know, it, just taking a picture with your smartphone of a, you know, post-it note or something scribbled on a plastic bag.
They're so adept now at doing restaurant invoices because that's all we do. I mean, if we get an invoice from a produce company that says nothing but lobster and oyster on it, they know it's mushrooms.
Yeah,
right,
they're very good.
They're Googling stuff. We have posters of things around of all the different American products. They're really interested in all of it. They learn about. They ask us questions like, "What does like grape jelly taste like?" All those crazy things.
Yeah, they're incredible people, and they're so interested in this stuff. Like, you know, I always say, "What can we bring you, or what do you want to try?" And like the simplest
grape
things.
Jelly,
yeah,
or like, you know, I've never had a strawberry kuya. They call us kuya. You know, I've never had a strawberry because everything's tropical fruit. You know, and we get out there, we're like jackfruit and pineapple and all this, but all they see is food invoices, right? And so they probably know more about cheese at this point than I do because
they've Googled
all
everything.
This stuff and they've Googled everything and that's all they do. And they have the same account. So
you have the same people working on the same account.
Correct.
So that they get used to seeing the names and the vendors and
all the
lobster mushrooms.
Idiosyncrasies of some,
handwriting.
Well, as an example, like we've got Momofuku as a customer, and some of the ingredients they buy, like it's incredible to see, like, especially Japanese ingredients. I'm like, what is that? I have no idea. They're like, oh, don't worry, Kuya, that's a chopstick. And I'm like, you know that? Like, it's literally in Japanese, you know, it's
but
crazy.
Now, do the restaurant people ever talk to those guys?
Yeah,
in
some cases, absolutely. There's an open line there of communication if that needs to happen, right? And in some cases, I mean, you know, a lot of restaurants are putting all of their stuff through. So it might be, you know,
it's not just food and beverage.
Might be like common area maintenance bills. It might be things of that nature where our team, you know, of course they're great with dairy, produce and all that stuff, but they might have a question, say, hey, how do I apply this invoice to
the plumber, the hand soap, the dishwashing stuff,
it's everything.
The gloves, the hairnets.
We have like a messaging system. So they'll leave little notes for them.
Yeah.
What about when, restaurant's about to open, the build out cost.
Do you guys get involved? If it's on paper, we do it. That's the best time to get involved.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So usually what we'll do is we'll start out with a CapEx account.
Yeah.
And a lot, especially scalable restaurants that are trying to do multiple locations, it gives them a really fast and great snapshot of what it took to open. Mm-hmm. And it also gives them a reference point, very easy to pinpoint, like, what did we pay for ovens? What was the spec on the cup that we bought? Like, all the things that seem mundane, but you know, in the flash of a pan, you're like, oh my gosh, what kind of cup do we use? And you're like, oh man, I forget the spec. Where is the invoice? No idea. New sales guy. Now all of a sudden, you're like,
well, when you threw out all the boxes to get ready for the
opening,
or no one can find the invoices.
Yeah.
You know, that
exactly.
happens a lot.
Exactly. That, you can tell. There's little things that you know. You can tell how organized a restaurant is. Like you know. Maybe it's part of the shtick, but there's a lot of bars I go to where I'm like, wow, there's like 18 different rocks glasses. I've gotten Negroni in 4 different glasses so far today. And I'm like, yeah, they probably have no idea what the spec
is on
their rocks
glass. Or
is
that the look? Is it one of those, like, you know, because there is a restaurant style of decor which is mismatched.
Oh, absolutely.
Facebook Marketplace, garage sale,
mismatch
get
everything.
It in my grandma's basement, mismatch everything kind of thing. So was it intentional that you had 4 different Negroni glasses?
Well, I'm just saying I've been in the situation.
Or
he kept ordering more to see if he could like replicate
business expense?
I'm telling you right now, start looking at coffee cups when you go out, right?
Yeah.
Start looking at coffee cups because no coffee cup
is
ever the
same. ADD come out in him now.
Oh, man, it's incredible. I mean, I've been in it. How about this? I have myself done it where I'm like, hey, what is these fork we use? And they're like, no idea. I'm like, me neither.
We bought them 2
Here's
years
a picture.
Ago.
Yeah. Here's a picture of it. We need them like yesterday. Cocktail forks. Yeah. Always missing.
Are you getting ready to maybe open a new place or are you just thinking about opening because you just opened a new place?
There's always discussions.
Of course.
I am in discussions with a couple more places. Yeah.
That's exciting.
Good for you,
wow,
man.
Cool.
That's exciting.
Thank you.
So we're actually hit the 45 minute mark, which means we're out of time, which.
Wow, that was fun.
It goes by quickly.
It does go by quick.
At the end of the show, I always like to ask guests for a little piece of advice for people. So I will ask the shoebox guys, What is your best advice for organizing information, organizing your receipts, organizing your expenses, organizing all that for either yourself or your business?
Outsource it. Let someone else do it. It's worth
absolutely.
The money.
Absolutely.
Scan really? And send. Absolutely. You don't have time to be like organizing paperwork in a restaurant.
It's a time suck. And as we were talking before briefly, investing in your people and investing in your product and investing in the things that really bring business back to you, that's how you can truly affect your revenue and
the
making
guest
sure
experience.
People come back.
Yeah.
Right? That's it's like everybody has their own seats on the bus kind of thing. You know, focus your time on things that are really going to impact your business. And then there's huge ramifications to being financially responsible and also organized
and responsive
yeah. so let somebody who's great at that do that.
Let the people do their job
and you focus on making your business great.
Hire for specialty and then let them do that specialty.
Exactly.
Don't turn your amazing mixologist into
I'm not cutting my own hair,
a
you
data
know
processor.
I could have somebody cut my hair.
Exactly.
Really?
You can tell.
I think your hair is beautiful, Tony.
Thank you.
It looks great. You should think about a headphone hairband.
Okay.
For life. That's good.
Next time.
New business venture.
So, Dave, same question to you. What would you recommend to people for how to keep themselves organized on the day-to-day and sort of, you know, wrangling everything for the end of the year?
Well, definitely don't try not to let things lag and take too long.
So don't wait until the end of the year.
Yeah, exactly. Try to be, you know, it's hard to do it every day, but try to do it as soon as possible and stay on top of things. Much as possible.
That's actually good advice for life.
Yeah.
Generally.
Yeah.
Well, that's great. Well, I am really happy that you guys all came out onto the show.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you.
94, right?
First pleasure. Time customer.
My first time. You guys were this gentle on me.
This is episode 94, which means we have episode 100 coming up in the summer season.
Yeah.
So we're working on an amazing 100th episode. If you listeners have a thought, a suggestion, a recommendation, a favorite episode, someone you want to hear from, get in touch with us. We're a very interactive show. You can reach us via email, techbytes@heritageradionetwork.org. We are on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook, TechBytesHRN. We would love to hear from you. If you want to reach out and get in touch with Shoebox, they are shoeboxbox.com. If you want to follow them on social media, they are @_Shoebox. If you want to check out Dave's fast casual pulled meat veggie bowl restaurant, twoforksnyc.com. Also on social media @twoforksnyc. Bathtub Gin NYC is his speakeasy bar. Little funny story, there's a coffee shop in front.
Yes, called Stone Street Coffee Company.
It's very tiny. It's charming. Mario Cantone, actor, Sex and the City,
yes,
who we became BFFs with when we were on a culinary trip in Portugal together,
yes,
which is a totally different show. He occasionally bakes the banana bread for the coffee shop.
Yes, he does. He's a good friend of mine, and we tried it, and
his banana bread's amazing.
Is it?
Yes.
He does it when he feels like it.
It's very dense and rich and delicious.
Does he send an invoice for it?
No.
He does it when he feels like it's very
chefy. That'd be an interesting invoice.
We have people that come in and like, do you have Mario's bread? No, okay, come on. And they walk out.
So Bathtub Gin is at 9th Avenue and 18th Street. Two Forks is West 40th at 6th Avenue.
And we've got a new office, too.
You got a new office. So if you give the address, people might stop by.
270 Water Street.
Oh, yes.
In Manhattan.
Is it ground floor?
Yeah.
So people can go, like, look out the window.
It's a combined office with a buddy of mine who does custom-made chef's knives. So it's a knife gallery tech office.
Yeah.
Okay.
Combining many loves.
Yep.
Is there pizza or snacks or doodles?
There's booze.
There's booze?
And we can order pizza.
So if the techs get into a fight, they got all the
exactly.
weapons they need right there.
You have to have snacks and if
we
you're
should,
tech, though.
We should
I
get
mean,
Mountain Dew on tap.
I've got a little fridge coming from Amazon. We'll keep some nice things in there.
Dude, you should get a slushy machine.
I'm okay with
like
I love slushies.
You know what I mean?
And we bought a bunch of pork rinds back. The guys in the Philippines gave us like stacks of
Boxes of pork rinds. They love chicharrones.
Yeah. Yes, they do.
Chicha.
Or you could just have all like Filipino snacks, like
that's
you
a know, cool
the purple
idea.
The purple yam pastries and
oh yeah the ube.
That, ube ube and all that kind of stuff. You'd be like, what's this?
We'd probably never have to restock. It'd be cool.
Yeah, exactly. As nobody eats anything.
Well, I'm sorry to say, this is the end of this episode of Tech Bites. If you loved it, come back next week at 11 a.m. on Thursday morning. We are going to have a great intellectual property attorney on. He is going to tell us about how you can protect your intellectual property in the digital age, how you protect your recipes, logos, photographies, and all that from social media and Instagram and all those kinds of things. He's a great, very interesting, fun guy. Come back and listen. If you want to take it with you, go to Stitcher Radio or iTunes. If you really love it and you can't live without it, go to heritageradionetwork.org. Click the beating heart and, you know, throw us what you spent on coffee today. Heritage Radio Network is a 501c3 nonprofit. That means we exist because of the love of our listeners. I'm Jennifer Liuzzi. This is Tech Bites.
Thanks for listening to Heritage Radio Network, food radio supported by you. For our freshest content and to hear about exclusive events, subscribe to our newsletter. Enter your email at the bottom of our website, heritageradionetwork.org. Connect with us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at heritage_radio. Heritage Radio Network is a nonprofit organization driving conversations to make the world a better, fairer, more delicious place. And we couldn't do it without support from listeners like you. Want to be a part of the food world's most innovative community? Rate the shows you like, tell your friends, and please join our community by becoming a member. Just click on the beating heart at the top right of our homepage. Thanks for listening.
Hey everybody, I'm Nick Layton.
And I'm Leah Bonema.
And we're the hosts of Were You Raised by Wolves?
Each week we try to make the world a kinder, nicer place.
Well, that's the idea at least.
I mean, we try.
Have you ever wondered what to do if you're ghosted?
Or what to do when a friend asks you to borrow money?
Or the proper way to eat Cheetos?
You know, the big questions.
So please find Were You Raised by Wolves wherever you listen.